Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So academia has long been a battleground in the culture war, you know that. We find the next juncture on this battleground in Florida. Where else? But with national implications for state universities everywhere. Governor Ron DeSantis has signed a spate of laws that, among other things, regulate what faculty at state colleges and universities can teach about race and identity. These laws also have implications for the tenure system and require yearly surveys that they call viewpoint diversity surveys from students and faculty. Some educators at Florida colleges and around the country are worried about what this might lead to. We'll get into the specifics of these laws and what they actually do now with Lori Rosa, reporter covering Florida for the Washington Post. Her article on this is called "In Florida, DeSantis's Plans for College Rattle Some Academics, and Some Experts Say the Changes Affecting State Universities Are a Sign of Things to Come Nationally." We had Lori up, and it looks like her line dropped, so we're going to get her back in just a second. What I'm going to do while we're doing that, oh, we do have her back. So I'm just going to say, hi, Lori. Thanks for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So the most publicized of these new laws is the one that DeSantis himself has dubbed the Stop Woke Act. The Stop Woke Act. What does that law actually do?
It limits what teachers can say, really, in classrooms about critical race theory, some other issues. That's the problem with the law, according to many teachers, is that it's vague. The governor's definition of woke is sort of all over the map. So, but what it does is...
Whoops, I think we're still having a problem with Lori Rose's line. I think she dropped off again. So while we get this stabilized, here's what I'm going to do, folks. I'm going to read a little bit from her article, which lays this out pretty well in the Washington Post. It says, in his efforts to remake higher education in Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis has signed laws that alter the tenure system, remove Florida universities from commonly accepted accreditation practices, we'll get into that, and mandate annual viewpoint diversity surveys from students and faculty. Now, this is already facing a legal challenge. It's in court this week, which is one of the news hooks here. And I wonder if anybody's listening right now, either who teaches at Florida State or the University of Florida or anywhere else in that system, and actually has a personal stake in this, either for your career or just for what you think is right in terms of higher education. Any Florida faculty members listening right now? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or anyone in higher ed anywhere, faculty, students, administrators, college presidents from anywhere, welcome to call in. With what you think the implications of this from Florida might be nationally, because again, that's part of the premise of the article, is to read again from the subhead, some experts say the changes affecting state universities are a sign of things to come nationally. What would you ask in a viewpoint diversity survey at your college or university? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. I think we have Lori back on a more stable line now. Lori, are you there?
I am here. Hi, Brian.
Good. So you were going to tell us how the state of Florida plans to monitor what individual faculty members teach or assign in their classes that would conform to the so-called Stop Woke Act, as DeSantis calls it.
Yes, and the monitoring, even that is up in the air. They don't really, but there is one way, and I heard you mention, for higher ed at least, in colleges and universities in the state, this student survey. It was passed in his law, in a law that the governor pushed, promoted last year, but the surveys just came out a couple of months ago. So they're just being promulgated to staff and students now. And some of the questions it asks, the survey asks students, and it's a required survey, it's not optional, is, for example, one question says, my professors or course instructors are conservative, liberal, other or don't know. So it's asking students to rate the political leanings of their professors. Of course, keep in mind, these are college students. Many of them are going to be freshmen. Some of them may not know. So it makes professors understandably uneasy that they're going to be judged by students in ways that they're not even sure the students understand.
Will individual professors be named, or is that survey your impression of your professors generally?
That's unclear, too, whether it will be tied back to the professors. And already there are questions about the way the surveys are being issued, because there have been reports from some faculty that they're hearing that students are passing around the URL to people outside the university so they can fill it out. So it just might, professors are worried because there's a lot of, not a lot of clarity. They're worried that they're going to be used as weapons against them, that will be enforced by the state somehow.
That's interesting about sharing the URL. I guess what you're conjuring there is an idea that a lot of I'm reading into this, but you tell me if I'm reading the right thing into it, that a lot of conservative activists will get the link, fill it out as if they were college students at Florida universities, and say all their professors are liberal so that it looks biased in that direction. Is that what the implication is?
That's one of the fears we're hearing from faculty. It's unclear to us yet exactly how the state is going to manage these surveys, but that hasn't stopped professors from, frankly, being afraid for their jobs, especially since the state this year changed tenure. And my colleague Susan Verluga has spoken to academics and others outside the state of Florida who say that they're watching what Governor DeSantis is doing to higher ed very carefully, because in some states where there's a majority of Republican voters, they think it may come their way as well.
Did you say they changed tenure? Does that mean the rules for who can get tenure and who can keep tenure?
Yes, it has to go through different people now, and it has to come. They do change the tenure. So they just passed it. That hasn't kicked in yet, and that's part of a lawsuit, but that would change the way the system works and make it a few more hurdles to go through before tenure is granted.
And as I understand it from your article, political appointees would have more say in who gets tenure as opposed to the peer review system that's dominant now, yes?
Exactly. It would rely more heavily on the board of governors who are political appointees rather than the universities themselves.
Do people make the argument, people are concerned about this, do they make the argument that ideological diversity among faculty is not a worthy goal? Because I'm sure supporters say, this is what higher ed is for fundamentally. One of the things, right, is to be exposed to different viewpoints about the world and hash them out and learn about the pros and cons and the nuances and the complexities and have debates about what's good and what's bad. So ideological diversity, political diversity, however you want to characterize that diversity of thought, is a good goal. Who would say yes, who would say no in Florida?
Well, I think, especially when you put it that way, which seems to me the proper way to put it, most people would say yes, and the governor would say yes, too. And he has said that he is fighting for diversity, but his point of view, as he's expressed many times, is that there's a lack of diversity that on college campuses in the state of Florida and elsewhere. He says, there's woke indoctrination going on, that, liberal professors are indoctrinating young minds, and he wants that to stop. So the problem becomes finding specific examples of what he calls indoctrination. And when asked, his office put out a statement a few months ago citing instances in other states that they consider to be woke indoctrination, but not in Florida. And in fact, Florida universities aren't known for their, trailblazing liberal bastions. I know the University of Florida, the flagship school in the state, for example, has invited Clarence Thomas to speak at their law school. They had Richard Spencer doing a speech at the campus a few years ago. So the examples of this indoctrination going on at Florida colleges, we just haven't seen that.
Yeah, and there's a difference between those two, right? I mean, Clarence Thomas, whatever we may think, anyone may think of his opinions, is a United States Supreme Court justice. Richard Spencer is, you know, a racist provocateur, right?
Huge difference between the two. Both were asked to come to the campus, Richard Spencer, by students, and the university, you know, fought it for a while. And, of course, Clarence Thomas, Supreme Court justice, many arguments to be made for having, you know, him on campus. And there were, and students did protest him. They didn't protest the fact that he was there. They said they just wanted to, you know, have their voices heard, that they didn't think he was, they didn't agree with some of his opinions. But those, both of those things went on, and nobody stopped Clarence Thomas from speaking at the University of Florida.
Kathy, so, in Stratford, Connecticut, you're on WNYC with Lori Rosa from The Washington Post, covering these new rules for tenure and accreditation and viewpoint diversity at state colleges and universities in Florida. Hi, Kathy.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just wondered how DeSantis or the government in general can impose regulations on the truth, which is taught in all education and higher institutions especially. And it's not about, not although diversity of opinion is wonderful to talk about, how can the truth be regulated?
Well,
ahead,
facts,
Lori.
Can't be regulated, but facts can be not presented or presented in a way that is shaded one way or another. In K through 12 schools, the governor's office has just instituted what they call a civics boot camp that trains teachers how to teach civics, the civics curriculum. The curriculum itself is non-controversial. It's pretty standard across the country. But these new training camps that just started last month in Florida, the State Department of Education is sending out what they call trainers to tell teachers that they need to emphasize the fact that, for example, there is no real separation of church and state enshrined in the Constitution. So,
wow.
Yeah, that, you know, they with the teachers I've talked to have attended those sessions, which are not mandatory, but they come with a, you know, either $700 stipend, you could work your way up to a $3,000 stipend, which is a lot for Florida teachers who are still amongst the lowest paid public school teachers in the country. So they're going to these trainings, even though they're not mandatory. And they're, what they've told me is that they're huge, not a huge, but a significant Christian dogma dose overlaying the way they're being taught to instruct students on civics education.
State-sponsored education boot camps, you're saying, right?
Yes, for teachers, teaching them how to teach students in civics specifically. And one teacher I spoke with, he's been a civics teacher for 20-some years, and he said he went and he was just astonished that these trainers are basically trying to, implying that they're, once again, woke indoctrinators, that that has to be fixed. And it's,
well, how much of this, and I guess you touch on it just by saying woke indoctrinators is how some people characterize faculty members, how much of this is related to the right-wing moral panic over the teaching of race and identity in history, or just in, you know, contemporary, in people's contemporary identities? Because, of course, Florida is also the locus of the so-called Don't Say Gay law, which has the premise of protecting young children from being exposed to sexualized content or content about sexuality, even different kinds of families, as not age appropriate. Is there anything that sort of equates to Don't Say Gay in college in this?
Not in college. That bill, the Parental Rights and Education Bill, is the formal name of what most people dub the Don't Say Gay bill. That's a K-12 bill. College, that that element has not reached higher education yet in Florida. That bill is specifically aimed for kindergartners through third graders, but, and then it's going to go on later to other grades, but they still haven't figured out the language for that yet, but not in colleges yet. But it's an overall theme that some teachers and professors feel is the state telling them what they can say and what they can't say.
Yeah.
And it's coming from people who, you know, that don't necessarily have a wide worldview.
But if they're more about the Tulsa massacre, Juneteenth in history, just to take two examples that are much more prominently in the mainstream conversation the last couple of years than they were before, then suddenly they could be suspected of ideological indoctrination.
Yeah, if a student complains to a parent, a guardian, and that parent or guardian can take some kind of legal action now, they're enabled by law now to sue a school. So the uncertainty is almost more making people more fearful than the law itself, because they don't know how it's going to be applied or what they can say, what they can't say. The one thing the governor's been clear on is outlawing the teaching of the 1619 Project. But other than that, it's pretty much up to the teacher's guess to figure out what they can and cannot say. And what we're hearing, actually, is that many teachers and professors are erring on the side of caution. They're just not going to talk about certain things that they otherwise would have.
Yeah, and even that, I mean, the 1619 Project from the New York Times is, let's say, a take on history. That particular take on history is now being officially censored, you're telling us. Katrina in Harlem, you're on WNYC. Hi, Katrina.
Hey, how are you? And I'll just pick up where you were just talking about the 1619 Project. So I'm a graduate of Florida A&M University, which is a historic black college in Tallahassee, Florida. And there are quite a few other historically black colleges in Florida. And I honestly believe that this law will jeopardize, put at risk, not only the tenured professors, but the colleges themselves, right? So what this law is purporting to do essentially is to shut down historically black colleges and the curriculum that they teach, which is an inclusive American history curriculum, right? It includes things like what we just said, Tulsa, the 43 riots in Detroit, everything, you know, it's black history. It is our history. And honestly, this is not only going to affect that, but even just trying to get funding already at these institutions, it's a challenge. And
is the school you went to in Tallahassee, is that a state college or university?
Yeah, Florida A&M University is a state college. It's a black college. It is not a private institution. It's a public institution.
So there's another whole layer, Lori. And Katrina, thank you so much for that call. Please call us again. There's another whole layer of this. If they're going to enforce ways of teaching identity that are going to come down from an overwhelmingly white, I presume, administrative bureaucracy under Ron DeSantis on historically black colleges like the one Katrina went to, then that's a whole other level of conflict and imposition.
It is, and that's something we're going to be taking a look at, is how they hope to, or how they, the Department of Education, intends to enforce some of this on a college like Florida A&M. There are other HBCUs in the state, but I believe Florida A&M is the one that's associated with the university system and under the purse strings, essentially, of the Department of Education. So that's a concern, but it is a concern at all of these schools. And the governor's staff, by the way, is fairly diverse, but the fact that university professors will now have to, they believe, and because the law is vague, but they believe they will have to get approval for certain, to teach certain subjects, and that will go up ultimately perhaps to the president of the university, who answers to the Board of Governors, who answers to the governor himself. So
Diana, there's going to be that political infrastructure. Diana in Toledo, Ohio, you're on WNYC. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Brian.
You have a story, I see.
I do. I'm a, for up until about a year and a half ago, I was a full-time faculty member. I did not have tenure, and I taught courses that explicitly dealt with race, gender, sexuality, and social class. And I was told over and over again by my state school in Ohio that I had to validate everyone's opinion. And some of those opinions were wildly misinformed. I had QAnon adherents in my classes whose ideas would show up in their writing. I had people who came from very homogenous rural places in the state who said very troubling things about their attitudes and beliefs about race, about sexuality, about gender. And when I asked my students to consider other perspectives or to think about something that the author had brought up that might complicate their answer, a lot of these students got really angry and aggressive and were threatening and intimidating, and the university did not support me at all, and I made the decision to leave the profession because I felt unsafe.
Wow. Physically unsafe as well as professionally unsafe?
Correct. A lot of students posted things about me online that were not true. There were instances where especially young men became very aggressive in wanting to challenge me on their performance in the class or their grades when they really had not been doing a lot of the work in the class. And it was, I'm an older woman. I have gray hair. I'm out in the classroom, especially when we talk about sexuality and gender. And I think in many ways, I was sort of like an easy target for a lot of, for some of these students. And the university just kept telling me over and over, just make everyone happy. And underneath that, of course, is the goal of retaining students for tuition because of the defunding of public education.
Wow, Diana, that's so disturbing. Thank you very much for that story. And, of course, it kind of changes the context that a lot of people might assume underlies this whole topic, which is that there's a liberal environment on campus and that the conservatives say is an enforced liberal orthodoxy. Here's some enforced conservative challenge and how that is rising as a force per Diana's story. Before we lose Lori Rosa in about a minute, I want to get this one more call on here. Bella in Hoboken, who I think has a story as a college freshman that relates to Florida State. Hi, Bella, you're on WNYC.
Hi, Brian. First time calling, long time listener. I'm going into a freshman year at Boston University, and my first day there during my open house, I spoke with one of the professors. I'm a journalism major. He was giving a journalism presentation, and he mentioned that he had left Florida State University a few years earlier because he was a journalism professor there and was told by the administration after a while to just start letting students make things up because there was nothing to report on, and he had nothing to give them anymore, and they were just making up stories. So he left and went to Boston University.
Wow. Bella, thank you very much. And Lori, I know you got to go in a minute, so if you want to react to that, maybe there's a follow-up story for you as a Washington Post correspondent who covers Florida.
Yeah, there's so many possible follow-ups, but it's just trying to figure out exactly what the goal here is. There's a purported goal to, eradicate indoctrination, but what even is that? It's so vague and so broad, and the uncertainty creates fear and a chill. And as a reporter, I try to speak to academics a lot, and the state university system produces some experts in many fields, for example, in epidemiology. And for a while, they were able to talk about how the state was handling COVID. But now a lot of folks will not talk to the press anymore, at least on the record, because they're afraid of losing their job. They're afraid of retaliation from Tallahassee. So that's the atmosphere that I'm sure many other states do not want to import from Florida, because that's sort of the atmosphere that academics are feeling in this state.
Stories from our callers, Katrina in Harlem, Diana in Toledo, Bella in Hoboken there. That can make your head explode. Our guest has been Lori Rosa, who covers Florida for the Washington Post. Her article, In Florida, DeSantis's Plans for Colleges Rattle Some Academics. Some experts say the changes affecting state universities are a sign of things to come nationally. Lori, thanks for coming on with us.
Thanks a lot, Ron. I appreciate it. Have a good day.